Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We meet at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't meet and join us in person, you could always join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat, worship, have prayer, fellowship. And if you miss both of those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel at The Seed Christian Fellowship, watch our children's message, watch our weekly worship services, or just the weekly message. We want you to come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our mission statement here at The Seed. Last week, if you were listening, we began our journey through the Beatitudes. We learned that the word blessed can be substituted with the word happy. The Greek word makarios is translated blessed, and it incorporates the meaning of wholeness, joy, well-being, and a holistic peace that's expressed by the Hebrew word shalom. If you want to know this kind of peace, the kind that passes our own understanding, the kind of happy that makes you feel totally complete and whole, then this series on the Beatitudes is for you. Let us turn to God's word for us today. May we learn what it means to be supremely blessed and made whole. Our Old Testament reading is from the prophet of Micah, and our New Testament reading comes from the words Jesus spoke at the beginning of his most famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. Let us listen for God's word for us today, but before we do, let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with a fire and a passion. Fill our minds with your word. Open our eyes that we may see you. Open our ears that we may hear you. Open our hands and feet that we may serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, how Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6, 1 through 8. Now turn in your New Testament to Matthew chapter 5, 1 to 12. This is where we're going to be for quite a while. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen, Jesus is saying something preposterous on that mountain that day. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." With these words, Jesus launched into the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, or the Sermon on the Mountain. It's stunningly brilliant and captivating fresh. Jesus quotes no rabbis, religious authorities, or ancient authors. In this sermon, Jesus cuts to the heart of the matter with amazing authority as he tells his disciples how to get into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew presents Jesus as the teacher, and the scholars present the gospel of Matthew as the teaching gospel. Here we have the ultimate teacher teaching us how to become blessed, whole, happy, or joyful. I encourage you to read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7, over the next 7 weeks. Allow the teaching words of Jesus, the teacher, to teach you how to be happy in a whole and complete and joyful way. Have you ever noticed that when Jesus begins his teaching, he does not begin with curses, but with blessings? I've been thinking all week about verse 3 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom belongs to them. This statement is like saying that the general admission tickets at Dodger Stadium have the best seats in the house. Now, you know that's ridiculous. We would say, blessed are the season ticket holders, those with the reserve seats. Happy are the skybox executives with the full buffet. Blessed are the press credentials who get into the post-game locker room. Blessed are the celebrity fans shown on camera. Wow, blessed are the rich and famous. No, that is not what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching us the opposite. Blessed are the fans in the worst seat in the stadium. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. What Jesus is saying at the beginning of this sermon is that in order to be happy, we must learn how to be poor in spirit. Jesus is not talking about being physically poor. We need a theological perspective to understand this poverty. In today's world, we are taught, stand on your own 2 feet, reach for the top, make something of yourself, plan your work and work your plan, be assertive, look out for number one. These are the things we talk about. To be poor in spirit is to be at odds with the world. To be poor in spirit is the exact opposite of words like haughty, self-assertive, self-sufficient, self-concerned, self-reliant, self-supporting, self-contained, independent, or an autonomous person or spirit. Last week in our Sunday school class, my wife taught the young children through the object lesson, of slime, that selfishness is lack of consideration of others. She had the kids pick their favorite color of slime, and then she paired them with someone who had a different favorite color. The kids had to work it out. Then the children had to make the slime together and figure out who measured, who stirred, who kneaded, and who added what to what. Then at the end, they divided their slime, each taking half. My wife asked the class if they could share some examples of people being selfish. One child said, "I would, but I don't want to make them look bad." Instead, my wife shared about our two dogs and how Jonah is way more selfish than Journey. The child who didn't want to make one of us here look bad, that child is poor in spirit. The child is not selfish and did not lack consideration. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mother Teresa said, "The poor can see better." Now that's a profound statement. The poor can see better. The poor stand at a better chance of being saved by God because they know the truth. Without God, they don't stand a chance at all. That's the truth. Being poor in spirit is to be spiritually bankrupt before God. Those who know they are spiritually poor are humble in mind. Humility means, basically, low-minded. Blessed are the low-minded. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the spiritually bankrupt, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. In his book, Philip Yancey wrote these words, "Why would God single out the poor for special attention over any other group? I used to wonder, what makes the poor deserving of God's concern? I received help on this issue from a writer who listed the following advantages of being poor." So here you go. Here's the advantages of being poor. The poor know they are in urgent need of redemption. The poor know not only their dependence on God and how powerful people, but also their inner dependence with one another. The poor rest their security not on things, but on people. The poor have no exaggerated sense of their own importance and no exaggerated need of their privacy. The poor expect little. They expect little from competition and much from cooperation. The poor can distinguish between necessities and luxuries. The poor can wait because they've acquired a kind of dogged patience. The fears of the poor are more realistic and less exaggerated because they already know that one can survive great suffering and want. When the poor have the gospel preached to them, it sounds like good news. The poor can respond to the call of the gospel with a certain abandonment and uncomplicated totality because they have so little to lose and are ready for anything. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to pray for you. You can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. We'll get you a Bible. We'll put you on our prayer concerns. You can go to our website at www.TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. The poor in spirit. When I think of a humble spirit, I think of the passage from the prophet Micah when he writes, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Micah chapter 6, verse 8. So how do we walk humbly with God? I was sitting on the plane flying back and forth to Ohio this past week. I read 2.5 books and read several illustrations of being humble. Here are a few thoughts. Did you know that the second street is the first street in America? According to R.L. Polk and Company, publishers of city directories, Second Street is the most common street in our country. Have you thought about that? Maybe you live on Second Street. Maybe you feel like you're always on Second Street. Well, it's the most popular. Park Street is in second place. Third Street is third. Fourth is fourth. Fifth is fifth. Main Street is sixth. First Street, did you know that it records as the seventh most popular street? Albert Einstein wrote, 100 times a day I remind myself that my inner and outer life depend on the labors of other men, living and dead, and that I must exert myself in order to give in the same measure as I have received and am receiving. Let me read that again and a little bit slower for you. Albert Einstein, this is what he wrote. He said, 100 times a day I remind myself that my inner and outer life depend on the labors of other men, living and dead, and that I must exert myself in order to give in the same measure as I have received and am receiving. I read about David Livingstone. I read a biography on him. What a wonderful man. He wrote, God had only one son, and he was a missionary and a physician, a poor, poor imitation of him I am, or wish to be. And he was both, David Livingstone. When John Newton, the converted slave trader who became a preacher and a songwriter, lay upon his deathbed, a young clergyman came to see him and expressed deep regret at the prospect of losing so eminent a laborer in the Lord's vineyard. Newton replied, true, I'm going on before you, but you'll soon come after me. When you arrive, our friendship will no doubt cause you to inquire for me, but I can tell you already where you'll find me. I'll be sitting at the feet of the thief whom Jesus saved in his dying moments on the cross. Although a distinguished man, Newton felt that he could only class himself among the chief of sinners who had been saved through marvelous grace. When I was in Ohio this past week for the ordination of a pastor, I was struck by the humble, poor in spirit attitude of this young man and his wife. This man grew up here in California. He went to Fuller Theological Seminary, and then God sent him to a small farming town in northwest Ohio to do his one-year internship. When he completed that year, he was able to send out his pastor information form to be called as a pastor. A small church in northeast Kansas called him to be the pastor. The town that this pastor and his wife now live in, well, it's 260 people in the whole town. Can you imagine moving from Southern California to a town of 260 people? This man will serve a congregation of about 70 people. They will share the good news of Jesus with all the people they can. It struck me while I was there that this man, this young pastor, could have felt like he was not being recognized for his hard work at Fuller Theological Seminary. No, this man had given up everything in order to follow Jesus. This young pastor and his wife were so happy and blessed when he was ordained. The church in Ohio was packed. They had never held an ordination there before. Pastors from every church showed up to bless him. This man was sent off. His wife called the other day and told us that 20 members of their new church in Kansas showed up to their 9 o'clock arrival in order to unload their 26-foot U-Haul. They had planned to sleep on the floor and have the people unload them in the morning. Nope, these 20 people showed up and unloaded the truck in an hour. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Our leadership team at the church, the Seed Christian Fellowship, is while we're working and we're reviewing our vision and mission statement. And while I was in Ohio, the hotel room where I stayed at had a picture hanging on the hotel room wall, and I looked at it for 3 days. God, what are you trying to say to me in that picture? I said, what are you doing with the Seed Christian Fellowship? I don't think it was a coincidence that this picture was in my room. The dandelion is the logo of the seed. I've shown the picture to several people at the church over this past week, and one person said, Dave, this is what the seed does. It spreads the good news of God by helping other churches ordain new pastors. Another person shared, Dave, God is saying mission is the same. Now go, grow, go, and sow. That's our mission statement. Know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. As I sat there in my hotel room and looked at this picture, I truly felt like God was telling me that our church is aptly called the seed. We plant seeds of faith. We plant people of faith. I think of many of the people who have come and been healed and been sent out. People have been sent out to South Carolina, to Kansas, to Washington, to Oklahoma, and other places, Florida. And they're spreading the gospel. The so what question for us today, as we kind of wrap it up, so what? The so what question for us today is, how do we become low-minded, poor in spirit? The answer is, we must empty our lives in order to be filled with God. Let's say it's morning, and let's say that you stumbled into the kitchen, made yourself a cup of something to drink, and let's say that as you stumble to the table, you slip and stumble and you spill your drink a little. If you're drinking coffee, then you spilled your coffee. If you drink tea, you spilled your tea. If you're drinking water, you spilled your water. That's just how we are. Whatever it is that we are full of is what is going to spill out of us. When we stumble and fall, or when someone else stumbles into us, if we are filling ourselves up with the words of Jesus, we stand a much better chance of spilling out humility, happiness, joy, grace, and mercy. We are driving home from our grandson's All-Star baseball game the other day. My wife looked at the sign she printed and taped it to the dash of her car, and she said, "You know, I should have made a bunch of these signs and sell them wherever I go. I could possibly sell 5 a day for $1 each." You know what the sign said? How important will this be in 10 years? How important will this be in 10 years? Excuse me. Your homework for this week is to keep emptying yourself of your negativity and to read the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Let's try to fill our hearts and minds with the Beatitudes. Let's start with the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Like Micah said in Micah 6, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? My prayer for you this week, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you struggle with. My prayer that this week you empty yourself. That you empty yourself so that Christ can fill you. And that you bump into other people. That you spill over into other people. And you share your humbleness, your low spirit, so that the kingdom of God would be spread out. You want to be truly happy? You want to be truly whole and complete? Somehow, we have to figure out to be happy sitting in the bleachers of life. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come today not because you're worthy. We come today because you are worthy of all grace and honor and praise. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to know what is right, to walk humbly with you, to do justice, and to love kindness. And let us be ministers of your grace as we go out into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My prayer for you as we study these Beatitudes, that the Beatitudes will become a part of your life, that you'll know them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. My prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith into this world. Know that God loves you. God loves you with an unfailing love, and his promise is he will never leave you. And I want you to know that I love you, that you'll grow in grace. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.